Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rap Bastard. And after about 20 minutes of messing around with the computer, because, it's not recording! It's not recording my voice! Why isn't it hearing my voice? And running driver tests and everything, I realized that the microphone was on mute. I didn't say I'm your intelligent, charming and delightful Uncle Rap Bastard. I said just charming and delightful. This episode is an episode where, once again, myself, Joe Crazy Writer, and our pal Butch load into a car to hit comic shops. This time we went up to Hopkins and then drove down to Mankato. We don't do this as much as we have this year because a lot of us, well, you know, we're kind of all virus cooped up and everything, so any chance we get to take off, we're going to do so. I've also cut back a little bit on my shifts at the group home because I was burning out. So, rather than sitting at my desk on a Sunday afternoon or a Monday night where Joe and I would chat about comics, nope, Joe drove over here, and we piled into his wife's car, and we drove all over the place. Now, here's the problem. What normally happens is Joe's in the driver's seat, Butch is in the passenger seat, because Butch is, about 6'4", and I am in the back. So I take the recorder and I put it up in the front seat area on the thing between the two seats. So we recorded when we left the house and stopped at the gas station. And we recorded after we left the gas station, but Joe took a turn really fast. The recorder went flying, and when Butch picked it up, he accidentally hit stop. So we missed the drive from Chaska to Hopkins. Not a long drive, only 20 minutes, but this was the beginning of the conversation, so a lot of things that will be referenced in this episode, and in a couple of future episodes, because we're going to be spreading these out a bit, using them here and there, rather than just dumping them all in a row, including a story Butch told about, we were talking about swearing, because one of us had let loose an F-bomb, and Butch told a story about swearing when he was a little kid, about how, you know, you'd learn that word, and then you say it at the dinner table, and are shocked that your parents aren't happy that you've learned this new word, except there was one kid he knew in his neighborhood who was very proud of learning this word, to the point where he said that this person was about 2.5, 3 years old, outside wearing a diaper, just screaming at the top of his lungs, "Fucker man!" And we proceeded to discuss Marvel's new character, Fucker Man, including creating theme songs. Sadly, this is all lost because it was not recorded, but you will hear references over this and future episodes to the character that, by the way, because it's on the podcast, it's trademarked and copyrighted, so don't you be stealing it, you bastards. That's right. Solitaire Rose Productions, a part of the Solitaire Rose family of podcasts, owns Fucker Man. There, we've got our explicit rating. Nope, so here we are. We're in the car going to Hopkins, leaving Hopkins, driving down to Mankato, talking comics, talking wrestling, just generally being nerds. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I always enjoy the ride along. So it's like, like I said, Joe's in the driver's seat. Butch is in the passenger seat. I am in the back seat behind Joe. So you're in the back seat behind Butch. And he shoves that seat way back. So your knees are kind of cramped up. There's not a lot of room for you. But you do get to drive along. So here we go with another On the Road episode. We are on the road to Mankato. We'll be right back.
goofing off here and get up to the donut shop.
Yeah, donuts. I should have brought some Velcro or something. All right.
I know where the donuts are.
Are you ready for the address, Mr. Strode?
I suppose.
Did you know where the donuts are?
Yep.
Actually,
let's ask Chris Claremont.
We gotta go.
He's
get
in
the,
North Carolina right
where's
now.
Where's the How do you know this?
Follow
actually,
him on Facebook.
Actually, get the SA. I'll fill up the gas. I'll fill up on gas, and then we'll.
Boy, those must be some wordy ass posts on.
Not really.
He's not that verbose.
Depends.
On the diaper he wears.
He and actually, if you've got Amazon Prime, there's a documentary about him on the X-Men.
I have it not.
Really good movie.
I have it not. But, oh, documentaries are enthralling.
There's so many comic documentaries now on Amazon. There's one about Image.
Image.
Yeah.
I'm not really into my Image.
And it gets into the dirt.
Yeah.
Finally know why Rob Liefeld was fired.
Which is?
Well, the reason Mark Silvestri quit Image was that Rob Liefeld was calling up his artists and offering them twice what Silvestri was. And he tried to get Michael Turner. And that's when Silvestri said, look, he either stops us or I'm going elsewhere.
Hey, this could be a hot count.
There you go. Factory. It's empty now.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That'd be a perfect hot comic.
They moved to Chantnasa.
Crazy comics. I thought Todd at an early appearance said that, well, it's all in his name. You got Rob, you got Lion.
That was after they fired him.
Yeah, it was. Why did you, why did you fire him? What happened to Rob Liefeld question?
Did he bail before they fired him?
They were having a meeting to fire him because he had started a company outside of Image, which broke their charter. So they're having a meeting to fire him. And Rob says, you can't fire me, I quit.
Ego.
Obviously.
Oops.
Hurt. Eastbound and down.
Loading up and trucking.
Woohoo! I don't care if it is the exit only. I'm going in.
We only do what they say can't be done.
We got
get
it
Rob
all
to do something on time.
Man, I watched some, speaking of Eastbound and Down, I watched a couple seasons of the Eastbound and Down TV show. Holy shit, is that funny. And crude and profane. Oh, that would be the one word I would use to describe it, profane.
Was it on DVD? Because I guess on DVD, there's a DVD version where they cut out all the nudity.
I did not notice that happening unless it was flat out edited.
I got
flat
go
out clipped.
Soda.
A soda?
Shoulder. Shoulder pop.
The ceremonial presentation of Corey with the pie. Which
ooh,
somehow
lemon.
Oh, I thought takes, you liked pie.
Takes the sting out of the fact that I forced him to eat one of the ceremonial road trip donuts.
Oh, are these the are these Corey's efforts to have donuts?
Yes.
Yeah, he gets the good stuff. I was
Joe doesn't like good stuff.
All right.
No, he makes no effort.
No effort.
Mm. Corey went with the healthy ones. Blueberry.
Yep. All see, right. There's fruit involved.
Corey, if you are prepared.
It was shown fruit at some point.
Sadly, Valerie has figured out to go out and eat all the blueberries in the garden. So now I don't get any. When that would be my only source of nutrition throughout the year.
Our address is
908 Main Street, Hopkins.
Begin driving.
It's open.
Got any more?
Oh, give me another one. A couple more.
Mm. Damn, those are good.
Oh,
he is right. He's staying home.
Yeah, he's correct.
All right.
He said early on, it's like, nope, I'm a cancer survivor, I got two kids, call me later.
I'm rich. Never knew you'd miss, because, you know, some people can't take the day off work. I mean, God, if I took the day off, my income would be cut by 1,000,000%.
Of course, you look at him, it's like, he's not taking a day off the gym, because good Lord, he's huge now.
Is he looking good?
He's looking big.
Now's the time to do it.
I did finish up the Undertaker. Hold that.
Execution.
that Undertaker documentary.
Oh. Is this on?
So
almost
good.
Almost as good as having yeah.
Is this thing on?
Brutally honest. You know, and of course, first thing I'm like, oh, he talks like a regular guy, as opposed like this. Paul Bear. Oh, there's one. Get ready to get rolling.
Yeah, you just go in every one and see basically the same stuff. Did you get anything here at this last one?
There's another one. I did not see anything I was tempted with. What?
Airplane.
Okay, something's going
yep.
on.
Oh, look at this, Joe. You got to duck down and see this.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's pretty sweet. I was like, why is everybody taking pictures?
Thanks for the tip, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
So the first shop we went to, so I'm the only one who got to go in.
Yeah, we went to.
They were in Fort. They had a lot of people waiting to go in, which is cool.
They are mostly a record collecting store, though. They had like four small boxes of comics.
So it's good that I didn't go in.
Yeah. And most of them were all beat up.
I used to see them at different comic shows, and they had tons of old stuff. And,
oh, those guys?
I do know they got robbed a couple years ago, which can really take the wind out of sails.
Yeah.
And they said they've been using eBay, and it sold over 5,000 comics on eBay since the shutdown.
Which I can believe, because they had some really cool stuff. So we went across the street.
Tooth by the lake.
To antique stores, vintage and antiques. And a really nice guy wandered around.
Yeah, that guy was cool.
I bought a book, which these guys constantly say to me, so I figure I'd at least
stay away, Joe.
Stay away, Joe. Something from like 1958.
Some cowboy.
Narcissistic button.
Help fight narcissism. Buy my autographed picture.
Yeah, it was a button that goes, what does it say? Have no fear. I am here. And a little tiny fire truck from Tootsie Toy. So, and then the next store, there was another antique shop. There's about, what, four or five of these things downtown Hopkins. And we went in a couple of them.
I think I'm going to set up my basement like that, like an antique shop.
No.
Saw all the stuff jammed in on shelves everywhere.
And I still, again.
With prices on them.
There were a few of the booths where you could tell the people actually took their time and, you know, made it look nice. But most of them is like, yeah, how much crap could I fit in here?
Yeah. And really, there's two things in places like this that kind of, well, for lack of a better term, turn me off. If it's not priced. And
yeah,
it, like
how
said,
hard do you want to look?
If it's messy. You know, or what's worse is if the price is like, you can't
there
see
There they go,
it.
Joe.
Oh, there they go again. We're watching, there's some planes circling around that are shooting out contrails. Oh God, we're going to be sterile.
That's what they're doing. That's enough
there
of this
be,
nonsense.
There must be some parade thing going on soon because...
It's Raspberry Days.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Oh man, maybe we came at the right time. Because people are, they must have a parade coming because people are like setting up chairs and getting all ready.
And there was a guy in the second antiques mall we went into. Let's go over here. I want to get away from these guys.
Did he say that?
Well, yeah, which was all me because Corey wasn't saying no.
Oh, that's funny. Get away from these guys.
Loud enough, you know, so he could try and be offensive and we could hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't pay any attention to other people, so
which
I
is funny because we would have been
too busy listening to my
if I'd have heard insight. I'd be like to you, Butch. I'd be like,
let's go this way.
Let's follow this guy. He knows what's going on. Where are you guys going? Oh, you better behave yourself. Fire truck behind us. Wait, there's words on the bumper. Ambulance. I can't make tens of tails out of it.
Joe's used to reading backward. He can't read forward.
You know, if it's Raspberry Days, let's get some raspberries.
Now, that would be a good concept.
I would rather have some snozzberries.
Why?
I'll give you some chokeberries.
There's a lot of people biking around here. Is this like Raspberry Days or something?
I don't know. Let's get out of here. I hate raspberries. Seeds get in my teeth.
I'm jealous of all the people whose handlebars aren't bent.
All right. It's 1 o'clock.
Handlebars?
Time to head south.
Handlebars? I didn't see any handlebars in the antiques shops. Handlebars?
Now, well, originally, the plan
Anybody
was...
Anybody got their bicycle made like an old 70s chopper motorcycle?
Originally, the plan was
That was
to
cool
go,
at one point, right?
Go stop at Owatonna because they have a shop there. It's straight down 35. Yeah. He's closed on Sundays.
Oh.
So screw him.
He's the one in our business.
And there was one in Austin, Minnesota that apparently is closed.
We don't, nobody wants my, there's those planes.
Yeah.
There's them planes.
They're following us.
They're them planes is.
But down
One's
in,
breaking off.
Down, ooh.
Breaking off to chase us.
All right, go ahead, roll up the windows.
Put extra smoke on that guy.
They're apparently down in, Mankato, there's two comic shops.
Rochester.
Both have games affiliated with them, so.
Oh,
I know. Oh, what's with you gamers? Can't you just leave our comics alone?
They got Dungeons and Dragons.
Herps. Oh, look at the trees.
Oh, and I got into a half an hour discussion with a nice lady about our masks.
That's when I bailed. I said, oh, cold, Butch got hooked into this poor
cold
lady.
Cold weather mask.
She's so lonely.
I like wearing a mask as much as the next guy, but not this. I want to wear like a bloody hockey mask.
See, every time I try to order a mask off Pro Wrestling Tees or, you know, for something cool,
yeah,
sold out. We won't have any for like 3 months.
Sold off.
You sold out.
I was going to say, throw it in the window, though.
NWO sold out.
I usually do that with my
Let's
masks,
watch that twice.
Just because I figure the ain't a virus alive can handle sunlight.
Sold out, yeah. That was a great pay-per-view, yeah, yeah.
Man. It was so great on the on my video cassette I wrote, NWO sucked out.
I still didn't remember stuff paying like that. Actual money for that show.
Yeah, 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 no good. It was terrible. Well, I mean, as I remember it, it's not like I... Oh. Let's watch it again.
let's
do a watch-along, Corey.
There you go.
Yep. So, NWO sold out 3,000.
We'll watch NWO sold out and then the entire year of Thunder in 2000.
No! Just for that, hand me a donut hole.
A hole?
Thing? Yeah, a hole.
How much of it do you want?
All of it.
Hole?
Nobody gave a damn about Thunder when it's when it was good.
The best part about Thunder was
I gave a damn.
I don't know if this is the Russo era, but they're asking Larry Zbyszko, what can we do for improvement? Okay, well, let me tell you about Thunder. And he was brutal. He was like, yeah, nobody wants to be on it. You tell these guys to get their ass on the show.
Where are you, Sting? I don't need this crap. I married a Ganya.
Well, Larry, we're going to put you in charge of the show. Okay, everybody kind of stall for 7 minutes before the match starts.
And then we'll barge in through Bruno Sammartino's hedge and see if he'll hire us.
Oh, man, there's the camper I was going to tell you about.
Larry, send your complaints to Corey Strode.
Larry, call in on the hotline.
Your dad's going, all right.
I can't talk about it here, but if you call this number...
Well, this is mean... Gene Oker.
We did that once. We called from the shop.
And it was super slow talking.
Well, they had to do that because everybody knew the code to get it free.
Not me. Of course, I've never been a crook.
Dave Shearer talked about how they would track how many calls they got. It's like they got five times as many people calling in on the with the code to listen free than actually call. Of course, Jericho on commentary this week on AEW mentioned, hey, call Jim Ross's hotline tomorrow for news on what's going on with the title.
Call the hotline.
That'd be my podcast there, Chris.
I'm covered in orange juice.
This is a $7,000 jacket.
Don't touch me. I have lawyers.
He made some remark about why they didn't do this or do that. Excalibur had to come back and he goes, huh, yeah, all right, that's a fair point. Instead of yelling,
yes.
Yeah, all right, that's a fair point.
Let me do that again.
my kind of wrestling humor. Big Swole snuck into the event, threw the paper at...
Oh my God, that was so great.
Too hard to explain. Dr. Britt Baker is injured, so she rides around on like a golf cart type of cart.
It's called a Rolls Royce.
That Rolls
because it rolls. Royce.
She's a roll model because she rolls around in it. And her lackey drives her around and takes care of her. And her lackey's name is...
Rebel.
And she calls her Reba. You know? Very funny stuff, right? Blah, blah, blah. She's feuding with Big Swole while she's injured. Big Swole is one of the girl lady wrestlers. And she gets Big Swole... Big Swole had taken a run her off with the cart and left her in a garbage can.
Yes.
In there for 6 hours!
It's
7 hours, 8 hours, keeps going.
And the best part of that, if you watch it again, she had a banana peel on her head.
Oh, yeah. Just she comes out of the garbage can with garbage in it.
Had a banana peel on her head.
Yeah. Very funny. Yelling at Reba. And so they're having an event, and she gets a, what do you call that?
Big Swole comes to the show.
Mm-hmm. And they're waiting for Big Swole.
And they wait for her outside.
With paperwork. And a restraining order.
She's a restraining order, and she can't come in.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I drove 3.5 hours.
Yep.
You couldn't call.
You could have called.
Fax me.
You could have called.
Snail mail.
And anyway, so later, Big Swole comes in a sweatshirt. Oh, that's Big Swole! You know, and this girl just sits in her cart off on the side of the event, but she's still a great part of the event, why don't they do that with so many injured wrestlers? Although a lot of them don't have
notes to the announcers to read, by the way.
And Big Swole crumples up the paperwork, throws it at her.
Throws it at Reba.
She threw it at Reba?
Yeah.
Reba recoils back, smacks Dr. Britt Baker in the nose, and this is the part that kills me. She's got a guy over there fanning her with a big fern, you know, right? Like a leaf, right? And as she gets hit, oh, she's injured. He's getting in there and fanning harder, you know, all that stuff just cracks. Because those guys could easily lose their place.
Oh, yeah.
No, he makes sure he gets in there and he's getting that fan on her. God,
and they
I love
follow
that.
It up online by showing pictures of her. I had to get surgery on my nose.
Yeah, and she's got a big bandage on her nose and the black eyes, and so she's just a riot. She was on, and I didn't see this, but she was at an NXT, she's Adam Cole's girlfriend.
Yeah, she
Adam
was at
Cole's
an NXT event,
championship.
And they pointed her out.
She's at an NXT event, and he's taking a shellacking, and so she's like doing this, she's making the expression that, you know, she's alarmed and watching, and they put her on camera. Because they don't know who she is. She's one of the top attractions over on the AEW show. And so then the next week on the AEW show, they put her on camera doing the same.
Well, the same and Adam thing. Cole's in the audience.
Was he?
And he has to actually go to him and say, yeah, they told me I can't be on camera.
Sure. But they get her doing the same reaction on the other show. Oh, man. And that was when she was a good guy. She turned heel and she turned heel, not very gracefully, but boy, she got on board quick.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, I shouldn't say got on board, but she came around. She is really
good.
Well,
she was a heel when she worked the Indies.
Yeah?
They brought her in as a baby face, and she's no good as a baby face.
I think she's good as a baby face, too.
Her promos were god-awful. They were just god-awful.
True.
Some people are just better heels.
They're not now, all of a sudden.
It's like The Rock when Rock was Rocky Maivia at the pool gym. No one cared.
No, it's so stupid. Then you got to start being an arrogant ass, and then you can always go back from being an arrogant shit heel to being a face, and then people like you.
But you have to keep
part
of what
you
are as a heel.
Yeah. Oh no, you want
to
cheer for The Rock?
Because that's what happened to CM Punk. CM Punk started to get over. And Vince said, all right, when you come to the ring, you got to smile. You got to wave at people. You got to do that. And instantly people were like, no, screw that. We don't like you anymore.
Did McMahon never see how the Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock did it? I mean, he must
not
have been paying
That's how
attention.
It is now. You know, look at what happened with Lex Luger. Lex Luger's kind of, his failure is exactly what Vince wants when someone turns babyface, though.
how funny, as Joe points out, how funny was he when he would come to the ring with Sting, and, you know, Sting's the big fan favorite. Lex is with him, and then when Sting's not looking, he'd pull away from the fans, make faces. And, man, who knew Lex had comedy in him?
When he challenged the Road Warriors to a Chicago street fight. Sting says, what are you doing? Well, you're from Chicago, I'm from Chicago.
Yeah.
We're from the north side. What are you doing? I got a beaten corner and I'm way behind.
That's the one thing AEW is doing, is they're letting their wrestlers kind of have some personality and some fun. And just, Jericho is that show.
They take heat, but man, the hand of Oz, you know, the great and powerful McMahon is not all over it.
Yeah.
And so you feel like stuff can happen, whether you like it or not. At least, well, stuff happens.
And the storytelling.
It's so sanitized over on the WWE.
Storytelling is so well done and so planned out. So, you know, the one episode where Jericho's doing commentary and Orange Cassidy comes and sits down. And him just being there, Jericho gets madder and madder and madder and madder until he tries to attack Orange Cassidy.
What's this dope doing sitting here? He's not saying anything.
And everybody's holding back Jericho. And Orange Cassidy, you know, he doesn't care in anything, but who's the guy holding him back? Pineapple Pete.
Pineapple Pete. Pineapple Pete. Oh, Jericho hates citrus fruits.
This part, I've never seen it. This,
oh,
I hate
Joe.
Citrus fruits.
Oh, it is.
Jericho's just brilliant.
Because the guys get to do the stuff that they want to do, you know.
I watched some of the Orange Cassidy matches. They are just amazing. And then when he finally does cut loose.
Yeah. Jericho on commentary. Great.
In the match 2 weeks ago where, you know, Jericho had said, if you try those, you know, those slow kicks on me, I'm going to punch you in the face. So
comes to a point in the match where he does it.
He does one, comes back, does the other, goes back for the big one, and gives him a real super kick.
Oh, brilliant.
At the bear.
That's kind of, it's almost shades of like when they were doing the Eugene character.
Yeah, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that could have gone for a while.
If I look like I'm getting too hot, Corey, get that fan.
Okay.
Get that fan going extra.
Now, this is a comic podcast, so what have you been reading, Butch?
What have I been reading? You know, what I've actually been reading, no, I don't think I've read any, very few single-issue comics. I've been reading that big official Essential Hembeck omnibus that I got last time we were out.
Marvel version, House of Heck. I just found the trade paperback.
Oh, yeah. See, I need that Marvel one, too.
House of Heck.
I'm about halfway through this Hembeck book, and I've been reading it almost every day. And, but I will go from some of his recommendations over to, like, a Marvel Essential or a DC's, what do they call it, World's Finest? Or no, they're not.
The Showcase.
Showcases, yes. And read some of the stories that he talks about, you know.
See, before him, I never quite understood why people liked a lot of that goofy DC stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Because I would read it,
as
even
a kid,
as a kid,
I wasn't a fan.
Go,
yeah.
Oh, this is just stupid.
And as a kid, I didn't like it at all.
But then you read Hembeck talking about it, and it's like, okay, I can see why people like this. I still don't.
Yeah. It's fun to listen to someone who at least appreciated it at the time.
I kind of do, you know, I mean.
I was kind of bummed that he never really got into modern comics, because I was like, dude, you need to be on this Image stuff and,
well,
and giving your opinion on that.
He was
always
even when even in the late 70s, he barely talked about then current, which are now very old comic books.
Yeah.
And so every, 30 pages, I get him talking about, well, here's what's going on, and there's a new book out called Omega the Unknown or something, you know.
Yeah.
New book. But he didn't comment on it much, and I mean, geez, what he chose to comment on regularly, his old books, and the stuff that was then current when he was writing, aren't that far apart, you know.
for us reading it now.
I did.
Loved it. Loved. I would have liked to have done a series like that myself.
One of my faves is when he's talking about his first time, his first comic book.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
something. Basically, he's sitting in the car, and he's like,
You
look in the background, some guy puts his hand behind him and is like squeezing his mom's ass. And he's got this dopey look like, is that what's shocked? No, he's shocked because they're on the news saying, I don't think it was Fantastic Four 1.
Yep, number 4.
Number 4. Oh, I had to have it. No, not that his mom's being goosed.
Nope.
That's funny stuff.
That is funny stuff. Some of that stuff is great. Great. Some of it's just a bunch of floating heads, you know, as well be a typed up article, but I find it interesting. Good job, Fred. Complaints to Corey Strode.
Call in on the hotline.
And you know, I flipped
kids,
through...
Kids, call your parents' permission.
I flipped through a recent Captain America trade, and it just looked awful and boring.
Which one?
In the middle of the trade, they got to dealing with the Scourge character.
Oh!
And, terrible art. Boring. Where's the Captain America costume? I don't read comics for this crap. And how about some fights? And some villains. And what else did I look at? The Doctor Doom miniseries.
I have not. Now, is that an older miniseries or the current series?
I think it's current. Well, I thought it was a miniseries, a 6-issue thing, illustrated by Salvatore...
LaRocca?
LaRocca, yes.
I have not read that. I think it was started as a regular series, but now, you know, with everything going on, just haven't said when it's coming back.
I gotcha. And I thought that was good and bad. Good and bad. And I kind of flipped through both of these more than read them, you know. More flipped through the Cap, more read the Doctor Doom. Which was a little bit like the way I read comics when I was a little kid getting into them.
Mm-hmm.
I rarely just sat and read them from the beginning to the end. I flipped to the fights and back and forth.
Yeah.
You really knew your way around a book if you read them that way.
I'm not reading this page. There's a bunch of talking heads.
Well, Doctor Doom was kind of cool because it came off of the whole Iron Man. When Tony Stark disappeared, it was like a young black woman, Ironheart, took over the Iron Man, and then Doctor Doom took over Iron Man. Which, of course, freaked S.H.I.E.L.D. out, and they sent Ben Grimm after him.
Ben Grimm.
But Doom was trying to, like, make amends for everything. And then that continued on when he finally got turned back into Doom.
How'd he get turned back? He got turned back into bad guy Doctor Doom?
No, but people... they think of him as that. They don't want to accept that he's trying to make amends.
And isn't he scarred again?
Yeah, they scarred him again, which I thought was stupid.
And Professor X is back in a wheelchair for the 50th time. No one else gets crippled
putting
a wheelchair,
Professor X
isn't.
He's walking around with this X thing on his head. X-Men's really... I love what's going on in X-Men, but the interruption really kind of killed everything.
What if Professor X got his face scarred and Dr. Doom ended up in a wheelchair?
What if Robbie the Robot was Cyclops' assistant?
What if Herbie the Robot was...
What if Herbie the Robot was human?
I remembered something else that I read.
What if they made more of those Franklin and Herbie comics that were so great in the mid-2000s by Chris Eliopoulos?
Well, yeah, those actually were great. I thought you were being facetious.
Oh, no. I would read those all the time.
Yeah, those were really lighthearted and fun. I also read...
With Franklin wanting to do stuff and Herbie... No, wait, no, don't stop!
Herbie. Bring back Herbie. Good usage.
I don't know how much you're in the... There's this... undercutting in comics of guys who are real upset about characters being changed all the time. Oh, they turned Thor into a woman,
Thor into a frog!
I don't enjoy it because I'm very much a... I don't know that I would... When I was a kid, I would have loved it, but now I want... Just give me the status quo. Hell, if I have to, I'll just go back and read the old issues over and over and over and over.
It's kind of interesting because I got in this actual Civil Online discussion about this, and, you know, they're complaining, they turned Iron Man into a black young girl. Why don't they just make an original character? And it's like, well, she was. nobody's complaining that Dr. Doom became Iron Man at the same time because he was an older white guy. We don't care.
Well, an old established character.
And then, of course, the problem is that was 2 fucking years ago. Tony Stark's been back.
Tony's back.
But everybody's still... And then they started bitching about the Thor thing, and I'm like, you know, I jumped in. I got to give Jason Aaron props because his story... I've read the first 2 trade paperbacks of his stuff, and... I gotta admit, when I was reading Original Sin, that's where Thor was determined to be not worthy.
Yes, which I also wasn't a fan of.
Well, what happened was...
Why do I want to read Thor that's not
Nick
worthy?
Nick Fury whispered something to Thor.
Yep.
And everybody's like, what did he whisper? So, in this Original Sin crossover, he whispers something. Then it goes to the Secret Wars... Battle World thing, which was brilliant. And Aaron writes a miniseries called Thors, where all the Thors are basically Dr. Doom's police enforcers.
Oh, that was the...
The chief of him is the Ultimate Thor, who's from the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, meanwhile, in another miniseries, Ultimates, Doom takes everybody who was from the Ultimate Universe and the regular universe, mashes them together in a small universe, where they constantly are fighting each other. That's his kind of revenge. And they finally realize this. Well, at the end of that, the Ultimate Thor dies. His hammer, though, breaks reality and lands on Asgard.
Yeah.
Thor finds out about it in a miniseries called Unworthy Thor.
Yeah.
And fights to go retrieve it. And... You know, there's people in the way, and that's where we find out what...
I've read some of these things.
That's where Nick Fury... We find out what Nick Fury told Thor to make him unworthy. Now, in the first run of Jason Aaron's Thor, he deals with Gore. Basically, Thor's going through space and finding all these dead pantheons.
I read that.
Reading for their gods. It's... Nick Fury whispers to Thor, Gore was right. Gods are not worthy of worship of the people who worship them. That's why Thor lost the ability.
And Fury knew this because he was the Watcher now at this point?
Or was he not yet?
He was just
Nick Fury. They retroactively put Fury where he was a... Not only was he in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. and he battled Hydra and all things, but apparently he'd been an intergalactic hitman. If anybody tried to threaten Earth, he basically took him out.
I didn't see that.
Bucky took over that role for a while. I don't know what happened. It was a dumb idea, but... I don't know if it was a dumb idea.
Maybe dumb execution.
Now, I know later on... is it Volstagg? Oh, I can't
Volstagg.
Say it. Volstagg gets the hammer and becomes the battle. Which, again, I just know because I read it.
I don't like it.
But... Getting back to what I was talking about, when I read the original female Thor, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, and revealed it was Jane Foster. But a lot of it escaped me because she was battling things that, what's a dark elf's name?
Malekith.
Yeah, Malekith.
And he'd been messing around ever since the beginning. I mean, they were talking War of the Realms in the very beginning of Jason Aaron's run on Thor, which didn't happen for 7 years. Because when I finally read War of the Realms, again, I was underwhelmed. It was one of those big-ass crossovers. Everybody was involved. And whatever. Now I'm starting way back at the beginning, and I'm seeing all these webs, plot lines that he was weaving, and I'm like, this is freaking brilliant. And I kept telling people on this thread, I said, no, you can't use Thor as an example, because it was an integral part of the storyline. More importantly, which I've said ad nauseum, if you pick up something, like I picked up the Thor Ironheart, the young girl, read it, didn't like it. Didn't bitch about it, didn't complain.
No. I never really bought books I didn't like when I was a kid. Just didn't buy them.
Well, and one of the things that people don't seem to quite grasp at in comic fandom is that book isn't aimed at you. You know, I read the 12 issues of Ironheart. It's aimed at girls age 8 to 16.
Yeah.
It's dealing with stuff like that. I'm a 55-year-old guy. It doesn't jump out at me. It was well made. I think it was, you know, it was a competent story, well told. It's not aimed at me, though. And that's okay.
I think a lot of people feel betrayed, like the your childhood hero. You, okay, let's just take Iron Man as an example. I read Iron Man. I read Iron Man number 75. I read Iron Man number 150. Stay with me, Iron Man, forever. Until I die, and then you can...
Except...
When I'm 90, and then you can go...
Iron Man 170, Iron Man. He wasn't Iron Man anymore.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, during the original Secret Wars.
And I hated it. Iron Man. I hated it. You know why I hated it? Because the art sucked. Oh, had nothing to do with anything else. I liked Iron Man, and I liked the comic. I kept buying it, so they didn't know I hated it.
But you had to go to Shinders, because Brian wouldn't carry Iron Man.
Oh, this, that was when John was still
and it was only six. It was only 60 cents.
What are you talking about? 60 cents? Well, I don't have that kind of money. One thing you didn't mention, I wasn't a fan of the I hate the unworthy Thor. I don't read comics so that Thor's crying and pissing and moaning about being unworthy. But when he was able to wield the hammer of the actual evil unworthy,
yeah.
he couldn't use his hammer, but he could use the hammer that was. God, you get the power if you're the unworthy.
Yeah,
I got a kick out of that.
See, I liked it.
He's got a hammer anyway.
They had built up to it over time. Yo, it starts with the God Killer story. So we see what happens to Asgard in the future, where Thor, and you know, we also see back to when Thor was a jerk as a kid, which they've told tons of stories. Thor used to be an asshole.
Yeah. Arrogant. Like and a lot of kids.
And you know, that's why Odin banished him to Earth.
And banished him to Donald Blake. Too bad.
The one thing that people don't seem to quote where yes, I'm gonna play with the toys. I might even break them.
Yeah.
But when I'm done, I'm gonna put them back in the box with the way they were.
Yeah, if you want to sell comics, I think you gotta do stuff like that.
Yeah.
The stuff that would sell to me month after month after month would continue to plummet in sales till probably I was the only one buying.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I remember Brian Wilson complaining about that during the years.
Right.
Ah, these comics are crap. They don't make them like they used to.
Oh, crap.
I'm kind of getting that way, too. But then again, I'm also willing to sit down and give Hickman a room. Okay, let's see. What are you going to do with X-Men? Do I agree with it? No, but I'm intrigued with it. And, you know, again, I didn't pick up Aaron's Thor, but I am now, and I can't wait. And I know when I get to War of the Realms, I want to.
The doctor is in Dr. Pepper.
We're driving by Minnesota's largest candy store.
Yeah, which, if it's open on the way back, we'll hit.
We intend to.
I believe.
Looks
it's
like
open.
There's no one there except a 1,000 cars.
Oh, there's a Borg ship.
Borg.
They had us on Borg ship.
Borg.
They've been assimilated.
Yep.
I think they're open till either 7 or 8.
Now, speaking of Aaron, there's another thing he did with that Unworthy Thor miniseries is he, during the miniseries, Thor discovered in Original Sin, no, I'm sorry, I'm saying this wrong, Original Sin 5.1 to 5.5, which takes place between issues 4 and 5, was like a miniseries within the series.
Yeah, okay.
He did, when the Eye of the Watcher, like, whatever, sends out waves, everybody realizes something. He finds out he has a sister. The sister,
oh, yeah.
Odin thinks, is dead because when he was battling Heaven, and apparently Heaven wanted to just come down and either enslave or destroy Earth. After they killed his daughter, he seals Heaven off forever. The daughter wasn't killed, but was supposed to be just gotten rid of. And somebody took pity on it and let her live. That daughter ends up being Angela.
I know, that's a Spawn trip.
I know, which is great because when she showed up at the end of Age of Ultron, everybody was like, oh, this is so cool. And really nothing.
They didn't do anything with it?
Well, she hung out in
Guardians of the Galaxy.
But then he took her and made her not only an angel from Heaven, which is a 10th realm we had never heard of before.
Yeah.
But it ends up being, no, she's kind of an adopted daughter, but she's actually Thor's sister. which again, when they're fighting during that, that again, this is this miniseries. And what's great is when Thor blunders into heaven, they discover, he says, you know, blah, blah, I'm the Odin son. They attack him. They you know, they basically, they're going to kill him. They have him chained to a thing. And there's a scene that I love where is, you don't have any clouds here.
What
are you talking about? You've never seen the storm. The storm's always with me. Rumble.
Yeah.
It's just taking a while to travel the dimensions. Boom! And it's heaven. And I'm like,
they do.
Oh! Yeah,
the sad thing is, I read a lot of this stuff and it just doesn't stick with me, which is me. Because the shit I read when I was a kid is with me. Well, I don't know, that's drifting too, you know.
But when I read this originally, it didn't mean that much. And now I'm reading Aaron's Thor. It's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And of course, Angela basically beat the living shit out of Thor, but didn't kill him. And then they discover, oh, she is Thor's sister. Well, they reject her, so she takes off. Doesn't want any part of Thor, doesn't want any part of Angela or heaven. And she has two miniseries that, again, I think I read, but I probably sold because they didn't really stick with me. Now I'm like, shit, maybe I better go back and read them. She ends up taking over Hell. Which,
really?
Again, in Unworthy Thor, I think, actually plays out. It was just these miniseries that were, like, just out of nowhere and then actually tie into the regular story. And I'm like, I was trying to explain this to Gruber because he liked Thor. But I could tell his eyes were glazing over. He's so out of comics, all comics.
Well, he needs $1,000 worth of trades now to read everything talked about.
He called me and he asked.
And if the art isn't to his liking.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to tell him. Yeah, I was trying to tell him you should check out this Aaron Thor because it's just so well. And all these little, you know, Angela, the Gore, the Original Sin, the Axe.
Unworthy
crybaby.
All
these little things that, like, they just appear and then they all are going to tie in. And we still haven't gotten to War of the Realms. I don't know how many issues I've covered in the first true trades, but come on, Marvel, get those other ones done.
I don't know that I even want to ask, but how is Angela, that's what, Neil Gaiman's character?
Yeah.
How is she in Marvel now? They bought the rights or they're...
He gave them the rights for...
What it is... That was what Neil Gaiman and Todd McFarlane were fighting over.
Yeah, that I remember.
And McFarlane lost that case, so Neil Gaiman got Angela.
And Roger.
So he worked out a deal with Marvel where he would give them Angela to help straighten out what's going on with Miracle Man. How? Well, we don't know all the details of that. And then what's happened with Miracle Man is... Okay, we've reprinted all the issues before, and now here's the new Neil Gaiman, Mark Buckingham. No.
Nothing? Crickets.
Are they supposed to? Are they gonna to?
Nobody knows.
They haven't said anything.
All right, so then, similarly, Conan's back.
Yes.
I like it.
I don't know if I like him running around the current Marvel Universe.
I like it.
Because he's hanging out with all these superheroes, and he's just...
A guy.
He's just a strong guy.
Yep. He likes to get set on fire and shot at.
I do like...
Comes out just as tough as Wolverine.
Savage Avengers.
Isn't there some Immortal Conan thing or something going on, though, too? Maybe there's something to that.
Well, there's one of Conan's... what do you call him? Like, the bad wizard. I can't think of his name.
He's
Conan, when he runs across him, wants to kill him, but it's a lot tougher than it looks because he basically took Doom and Doctor Strange to task. That's how powerful this guy is. Now that's Savage Avengers. What I do like is I like Conan in the two miniseries he's been on. Serpent. I can't remember. The Serpent Affair or whatever.
About the serpent crown?
Where they tied in, they did three things. They tied into the other Howard...
the duck.
Property? No. His properties? No duck yet.
We're not getting there yet.
Including an old reprint from... God, what was that? True Believers Zero? That was from... like a 1970s comic. They took that character and then he ties into, I forget it.
Weird World.
Weird World's its own weird thing. I know Moon Knight was involved. Howard's character that was...
Solomon Kane.
Solomon Kane, and then it was a female woman.
Dark Agnes.
Yeah. So he ties them all together. And now there's another Conan miniseries that kind of spun out of that. So I'm kind of digging it in a way. But Savage Avengers is kind of one of those...
I particularly enjoyed it at first because it had good art.
Oh, yeah. And it was kind of an interesting concept. But
there's a independent book called The Sumerian.
Yes, we talked also about that on the podcast.
Which I probably read two or three issues, liked it quite a bit.
What it is, Conan is a public domain character over in Europe.
Okay.
Because their copyright laws are different. So there's a European company that is adapting Robert E. Howard's stories.
The Sumerian stories.
So now...
Sumerian, the barbarian, the Sumerian.
This company has brought them over to the U.S., they thought they could get away with it because, hey, we're just reprinting what's going on. No.
Yeah. Oh.
But they did come to an agreement with the Robert E. Howard properties. So it will continue, and I think they're doing a second one.
All right.
And it's more just, you know, a straight... They say that they're doing the official adaptation, not throwing in any extra stuff. Roy Thomas actually has adapted all those stories during his run.
Yeah.
And what he did that was different was he kind of smoothed over the timeline. It's like, okay, the story goes to this story, to this story, to this story, to this story.
Yeah.
Whereas Robert E. Howard, he didn't pay attention to continuity.
Did stories.
He didn't care. He wrote them out of order, and here you go, here's a new Conan story. And the ending's going to be a king. Well, you gonna tell that story? Yeah, someday.
Yeah. Oh, someday it never comes. Okay.
Speaking of second issues, I did see the second issues of that company that's only distributing to Walmart.
Only second issues?
Yeah, second issue I comics. Couldn't find any of the first issues. And I went to like five or six different ones.
I didn't look to see if they're like second printings, but they took down the display and they put it on an end cap.
Well, if they have the first issues, I might pick them up. My problem is $5 for a 24-page comic.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. I thought that the fact they were at Walmart, they'd be a dollar.
You think?
But because they have distribution of a million or something.
And the DC books were, 100 pages for $4.99.
Yeah.
Yes, most of it was reprints, but it was still a great pick.
Yeah.
Weird thing at this Walmart, reprints. I think it was at the Forest Lake one, no 100-page DC comics.
Yeah, they're all gone now.
Yeah.
DC will not.
What?
DC finished them. Now they're doing these packs.
Yeah, they did have the packs.
And you can't tell what's in any of the packs.
Oh, it's the 1970s all
over. With Marvel now has like 10 comic packs. But the ones that collectors are going nuts over are like the 3-4 pack ones because they have an exclusive cover with them. And so that's, DC's like, you better, or to DC, again, another $1 million idea, get Walmart a variant cover, and you're going to have the fans buying them.
Are you listening?
Because they're like, 10 comics, great deal. I said, yeah, but I don't know what the hell you're giving me.
Maybe not so great of a deal.
The DC packs are, I think, only 3 or 4 comics, and a lot of them are, here are the variant covers that we printed, but no, people didn't order enough copies for us to send them out. So there are a lot of, like, third prints and stuff like that. But the problem with them, for me, is you don't know what you're getting in the pack, so I'm not going to buy that.
Yeah. No, buying blind is not the way to buy comics.
I'd have to look at it. Because it occurred to me they were like $10 packs, the Marvel and DC, so... And the Marvel ones with the exclusive cover, there you got 4 comics, but you got the exclusive cover, and oftentimes people are taking those and selling them on eBay's for more money.
Next time we see a restroom, I need to stop.
You're in big trouble.
So what's the what is the 24-page $5 comic? Fuckerman or Fuckerman end cap?
No,
seriously though, what is it?
It's Mitt Breitweiser started a publishing company.
Yeah.
And they're basically kids' comics.
Like Wally the Wizard and...
Well, no, they're superhero stuff.
Planetary or Planetary? Superheroes, all right. Interesting.
Well, superhero action adventure type
Interesting.
Stuff.
Interesting. Where will I see these at? Walmart?
Yeah, Walmart only.
Yeah, that's a set Walmart, you fool. Walmart only, not
the,
comic
it's
shops.
It's on the back end cap, so it's not in your main aisle.
Yeah. Books.
Rest area.
Oh, you lucky bastard.
Wow.
Corey says, I want your rest area. Poof, one pops up.
Doctor Strange. I read... Okay, remember the Human Torch died?
Oh, yes,
he died.
Spoilers.
He was dead.
Yeah.
I recently happened upon, I think it was, what, FF600, where he came back?
Yeah.
And,
they explained, no, yeah, he really died.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, I'll say. Which is pretty cool.
Apathy!
He came back via a giant flaming four in the sky that kind of let the others know that he was back, although I'm sure what he was doing was calling them in. Meanwhile, the Kree, I guess, were attacking the Earth. And the thing was being pounded down by a few of the Kree sentries. And he saw the flame and he said something like, well, what do you think of this now? Which I thought was... I don't even remember exactly what it was, but I like it was kind of an off-kilter line.
Well, isn't that something?
How about this? Well, what do you think of... Oh, that was great.
How about that?
I also recently read, which I seem to have forgotten, the Keith Giffen era Defenders stuff.
Oh!
Which I remembered loving as a kid.
With David Kraft.
David Anthony Kraft, yep. And Luke Cage was in it a bit, and it led up to number 50, which was a big... Number 50 of the Defenders was a pretty cool brawl.
That was such a great story.
Yeah, when I was a kid, man, I was enamored with that. And so I read all those recently, too, and loved them. Loved art.
I didn't realize he was Kraft was on the Defenders so long. He was on it for like 3 or 4 years.
I believe I saw the demise of the shotgun elf.
Yes.
In one of those.
Elf with a gun.
We will now take a pause while Mr. Weak Bladder Strode.
We'll come back and nothing about the elf.
Yeah, we'll change topics again.
Mr. Weak Bladder. Funk is on a roll.
Hey, 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 yo. Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here.
Done, bitches!